Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2007. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner, located at booth 408 on the Java 1 Pavilion floor, including mini-talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities. So hello there. This is the closing moments of the Java.net Community Leaders Weekend 2007, and I'm sitting in the conference room here with Jeff Kesselman of Project Darkstar and now the Darkstar community. So, hi Jeff, how you doing?
Good, Chris, thanks.
All right, I said Darkstar. It's not the most descriptive name in the world, so what is Project Darkstar?
So to explain that, there's a little bit of a fine point there, which is that Project Darkstar was actually the Sun Labs project, which has developed the Sun Game Server, or the SGS. In practice, most people don't call it the SGS. Most people just refer to the whole thing as Darkstar. So that's what you tend to hear out there. But technically, Darkstar is the name of the project, and the Sun Game Server is the name of the actual technology.
So what is a game server?
What the Sun Game Server does in sort of a high level is it does for game developers what app servers do for online enterprise business developers. It does all the hard things about writing an online, massively multiplayer, scalable, fault-tolerant game system. So from a user's point of view, this has a number of implications. First of all, it means that we can get rid of actually, because of load balances, we can get rid of what are referred to as zone limits, which is when you get to a zone and it says, oh, there are 500 people here, you can't go to the town, for instance, right now, because there are too many people in it. Darkstar allows the game to actually use servers that from other places aren't being used to help with that load. So the load is actually doesn't have to do with where you are, but just how many people are online. It also provides fault tolerance, provides what we call five nines uptime. So what this means, again, from a player's point of view, is you're not going to try to log on and find your server is down. 99.999% of the time it will be up. And the reason we can do this is because the system allows any machine in the back end to be handling you no matter where you are in the world. So if a machine goes down, you just reconnect to a new machine, you keep on playing, you don't even see it. The system just handles it for you. It does some other things too. It eliminates dupe bugs. I mentioned a dupe bug. Game players have their own vocabulary. They describe the experience, because they're not programmers. They don't describe what's going on in the machine, but they describe the effect. One of those effects I see is something they call a dupe bug or a duplication bug. A duplication bug, virtually all MMOs have them today, is a way where you can take an object and temporarily have it in two places at once. If you can then pick that up in both places, you now have two of them. A duplication. And the reason this is bad is because these games are based on economies and things have value. And so now you've just doubled the value. Furthermore, there are things called stackables. If you think about how you pay for something, you don't pay for a big bill, you know, a dollar at a time, you hand somebody a 20. Well, gold pieces or dollars over in these games are one example of a stackable, where you can take a five of these gold pieces and make one object that represents five of them. Well, the problem is now you duplicate that, you have 10. You combine those, you have 20. You duplicate that, you have 40. So now you've got an exponential growth, and very, very quickly you're very, very rich.
And what you're doing is counterfeiting.
What you're doing is effectively counterfeiting, exactly. Programmers understand that the source of a dupe bug is something called a break in referential integrity. That's a database term. It gets into how data is stored. The important thing is that the way Darkstar is built, that can't happen.
You're talking in real specifics about what Darkstar does. It sounds like you're pretty far along. This isn't just ideas on a whiteboard. You've got a real project here. How stable, how finished, how mature is Darkstar today?
So we have out today the 0.92 SDK. The SDK has been through, EA 2.9.9.1.2. It's been through five releases so far. And it's at this point, the SDK is very stable. The SDK differs from the production version, which we're doing right now, which will also be released in one key way, released to open source in one key way. The SDK is designed to run on a single machine. It's for use inside of a developer's studio, so I can just set up a PC, throw it on there, start developing their code. The code that they run with the SDK looks exactly like the code they run on the production system, but the production system is based on an array of machines with fancy switches on the back end and a whole bunch of other things that allow us to do this kind of failover. Obviously, when you're only running on one machine, if that machine goes down, you're out of luck. But the idea is that this way the developer doesn't have to buy a machine room to start developing. So the production system we are well into. It's our big project for this year. We are going to be doing an open source release when we're at the point where we feel that the code base at least reflects well sort of where the final direction is going on the production system.
You talk about open source. Is that part of your new affiliation with Java.net?
Well, so my personal affiliation with Java.net goes back quite a while. Among other things, I was the instigator of the JInput project, which was in the game space, is now folded to the desktop space. But for Darkstar, yeah, what we decided just before GDC, which is a couple months ago, we had been struggling for a year to figure out what the licensing would be around this product. And just before GDC, we said, you know what, let's do something just totally wild and unexpected. Let's do something that will just take the industry by surprise and change the playing field. Why don't we go ahead and open source it? And we thought about this for a bit. We said, okay, well, what does this as a product really represent to us? It's a market enabler. It enables a whole lot of little guys to get into this business that never could before, because now we're handling the hard parts. The estimate is the way the online games are done today, a game like World of Warcraft starts at a base budget of about $30 million to produce. And of that, $20 million is the server side. By taking over the hard jobs there, we've brought the cost way down. And we want to do that because we want more people building games that are different. So we get more players. All those games need servers. All those servers need support. This is all stuff that's good for Sun. We thought about, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? And the worst thing that happened would be one of our competitors picks it up and also starts supporting it. And that's not so bad, really, because we would rather have them supporting a common technology base than saying, okay, we've seen this thing, now we're going to go build our own and have competing forces in the market. So it just seemed to be a good fit to go open source with it. And the industry has loved the idea. The industry's biggest concern, they loved the concept. Their biggest concern was, what is it going to cost us? And when we told them nothing, all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people have been on the fence went, you know, we really should start talking to you.
Well, you talk about this being something that would enable the smaller players. Are they already turning up for Darkstar?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you already getting some traction?
Absolutely. If you look at we've been getting the community started, the old javagaming.org site, which is still very active for Java game developers, has been hosting some Darkstar forums for us. And we've got a lot of little guys already involved. Our first demo was written by a couple guys in the garage. We've had everything from, as I say, little individuals who are looking at this, getting very excited about it, and starting to build stuff and show us stuff, to some very big companies that came out of the blue and told us, hey, we've been prototyping with it. We'd like to talk to you. I'm like, well, that's nice. I think there's two companies I can mention on the big side. One is NCSoft, who we just finished doing some prototyping with. They're one of the big players in the massive multiplayer online space. They do Guild Wars, Lineage 1 and 2, City of Heroes. These are their games. The other one, which I can mention because he's going to get up and talk about their experiences with it at my talk in about 3 days, is Perpetual Entertainment, who are much like NCSoft. They are a publisher of online games, massive multiplayer online games. But their first really big game they are working on right now, and that's the Star Trek license. So that's a couple of big guys using it. And there's just a ton of little people. We open up the Playground. I should mention the Playground. The Playground is a hosted environment that Sun is hosting that we're making available to developers to basically, when they get to that second point, they've built as much as they can build in their office. They need to start testing it on the internet. They need to start testing it against larger than the 40 or 50 people that can run in their office. Then they come to something like the Playground and run their beta there. That's something we're running. We did an invitation or an application process because we do have to, the resources are limited, so we do have to sort of stage developers through it. But we got a ton of applications, everywhere from, again, some huge names, I can't mention, but everybody would know, to a bunch of people who, you know, somebody in Brazil who's working on, you know, a soccer game, this sort of thing. Just a ton of stuff.
And you guys have recently been approved to start up a new community on Java.net. What can people expect out of that, and what are they going to see when they come to the community once it's out there?
So we're setting up the portal and the development community right now for that. You can get to that through Darkstar. I think it's I have to look at what I think it's darkstar.dev.java.net. I'll have to check. You could also get to the portal and get to that through www.projectdarkstar.com, which is our primary link. And there's a number of things that are going to be there. Just to begin with, right away, I have two games that I've written as demos for Java 1. One is a Super Nintendo-level game called Bunny Hunters Online, which is an example of doing that sort of kind of 2D game, which has its, you would think is not as hard as 3D, but in fact doing 2D online has some very unique challenges. It's harder to hide a lot of the latency issues when you're looking down at the board and you can see it all than when you're looking from the perspective of a single player. So I'm going to be releasing that entire thing open source. And in fact, the audio is rights cleared, the art is rights cleared. There are some limits in terms of people using it for other projects, but if they want to pick up Bunny Hunters and hack on it, that's all free and open. The other thing I'll be releasing that I've written for the lab is a text MUD, which I know how many people are familiar with MUDs out there, but this is like the old Infocom text adventure games, but MUDs are designed, first of all, for multiple players at once, and second of all, they're designed to be expandable. And that's another thing I'm going to be open sourcing right after Java 1 at the site. I'm working on some utilities that I'm going to be putting out there as well, some programming utilities, and as soon as the team feels they're at the point where they can release the open source code for Darkstar itself, that's going there. And then there's the community. We're figuring there's probably somewhere between a dozen and two dozen projects out there right now that will probably want to use the project space.
Is there anything else you would like the JavaNet podcasting audience know about Community Darkstar?
Well, the other thing I probably haven't mentioned that I should mention because, again, you might be hearing about it right now. You might be hearing about a project called MPK20, which is a Sun experiment. They're calling it, the one-liners are calling it Second Life for Business. It's a Sun experiment in a virtual space for this design for business applications. That's actually built on top of a kit that another open-source project at java.net is doing called Wonderland. And Wonderland, for the server side, the communication, is built on top of Darkstar. So we're part of that, too, and that's very exciting.
Great. Well, thank you very much for meeting with us and telling us about Project Darkstar.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's always fun.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Come visit us at booth 408 on the pavilion floor or visit the homepage at www.java.net for all our Java 1 updates.